today for salvation from his hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For we have placed all our our sin we repent, oh Lord. We believe your holy words. Have mercy now, we pray, and take all our sin away. Kyrie. Fall on this earth, Lord. Oh, our only
Yes, Lord, we cry out for mercy. Lord, we cry out for your mercy, Lord, because this world is getting more and more wicked, more and more evil. The darkness is rising up. But, Lord, you promised, Lord, when the gross darkness would rise, that, Lord, your glory would be seen upon your people. And, Lord, we're going to trust you, Lord, no matter how dark and difficult or evil the world may become, we are going to trust you to arise and move in our lives, Lord, to arise upon us and let your light and your glory be seen upon us. Because, Lord, you promised one thing, no matter how bad it gets, you promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the true church of Jesus Christ. And we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives even unto the death. Even if we're martyrs, we are not losers in this war. We are conquerors. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you're our refuge and our fortress, our deliverer, our healer, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Well, quite a few things on my mind this morning to share with you. I think that last song kind of set the tone, though. The prophet Jeremiah, when he was warning of the judgment that was about to come upon Israel and Judah, even the southern kingdom there, he called them the generation of his wrath. Boy, that's not a term you want to hear, is it? The generation of his wrath. He had put up with so much. He had put up with their sexual immorality that they wouldn't repent of, just live in it. He put up with their idolatry. I mean, did he ever have patience? Some say when was it? There was about almost 100 years he tolerated idols, pagan images and things within his temple, that he didn't destroy them. I want to say this. God's been very, 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 very patient with America. More patient than I could have ever imagined. And yes, I think part of it's because America has a lot of Christians, a lot of true Christians that have prayed and fasted and given of their finances to send missionaries all over the world. And I think that's probably the main reason that God has spared America of a severe judgment, like the complete collapse of society and the financial institutions and everything else. I think he's let us see little glimpses along the way of it. But I have to tell you that the storm clouds are gathering, I think, faster than they've ever grown. And I don't know how much time before life changes in a drastic way for us here in America. And it will for people all over the world, because what Jesus said about this great tribulation, this time of trouble, he said it will be a time of trouble like the world had never seen or known before. Now think about that. That's hard to contemplate, isn't it? That some of the things I'm hearing now, I got to tell you, it's not even scary anymore. You want to know why it's not scary anymore? Because either you're going to be in Jesus 100%, he's going to be your refuge, your fortress, your strength, the place you hide, and the one who hides you, or you're not. See, in this, very, very soon, the day of playing games with God will be over with. You will not be able to hide in a big mega church or even a little church. You won't be able to hide, especially if you're playing games. If you're trying to play, I'm for Jesus on Sunday, But the rest of the week, I pretty much do whatever I want to do. And that really defines most of the American church. I hate to say it. Because they believed, like Jeremiah said they, to the people, said, you say, we're delivered to do these abominations. And nothing bad's going to happen to us. Turn on 99% of churches that are on TV this morning, and guess what you're going to hear? You're going to hear just that. You're blessed. Don't really matter whether you're living in sin or not, or you're rebelling against God, or you're wicked. No. And that's one thing, when we were in praise and worship a minute ago, the Lord was like, the days of being on the fence are coming to a close. You will have to choose who you will serve. All the way. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 64. I was looking at this last night. I just feel strongly that we're supposed to go through it this morning. Psalm 64. It's a psalm of David. It's also called a prayer for deliverance. But this deliverance is from the wicked. You know, I did a few messages several months ago from Psalm 37 about the wicked plot against the just. Boy, let me tell you, do they? The plots now are in everything. Our food, our water, our air. Even they're attacking our DNA and our genetics. Everything is under attack by satanic and demonic, demon-possessed, wicked people who are in league with Satan, or Lucifer, as some of them like to call him. Some of those wicked even think that Satan and Lucifer are two different beings. Sorry, same devil. But let's read through some of this here. I think I'm going to just read it all. It's only 10 verses, and then we're going to dig into it a little bit. But David cries out to the Lord. He says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet or sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Now, that word perfect there in Hebrew simply means those who are living morally righteous, upright lives before God. That doesn't mean they're sinless or anything, but they're living for God. But he says that they're sharpening their tongue like a sword. And they're bending their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They're not afraid to attack us in any way. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities, meaning they look for your faults, your sins. They look for any way they can take your weakness and use it against you. It says they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. When you think about all this information that's being kept against you. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But listen to what verse 7 is. Somebody say, but. But, it says here, God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So that shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Isn't that interesting? All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this pretty well describes the times that we're living in. From everything to Bill Gates, to the World Economic Forum and Mr. Klaus Schwab, to the United Nations and all their Luciferian satanic worship that goes on there, to, I mean, we could just go down the list. The Bush family, the Clinton family, the Obamas. All of these wicked people, most of those that control NATO, and yes, most of those in the CIA, I'm not even going to hide it anymore. Yeah, they'll be watching now for sure. The FBI, we know, is completely infiltrated. All of this, the NSA. I remember years ago, before I started even talking about some of the stuff I talk about now, when I was just talking about Bible prophecy, and I remember I would get, this was during the Obama years, I got visited on my website, and you know, they could hide it, but they let me see. I had U.S. Cyber Command visiting my website, the Western European Union that's not even supposed to exist. As an intelligence organization, a military arm, but they do. Naval intelligence, the Department of Defense. I had all kind of people visiting my website. Saudi Arabian billionaires. I wonder what they wanted. I'll tell you what, because I was exposing Islam at the time and what they were going to be doing in the last days. But see, they've been doing this diligent search on us. See there in verse 6, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. They build it, you know, they built that massive data center out in Utah so they could store everything that you do on your phone or your computer. You know, one day they're going to use it on you, right? Use it against you. Somebody's heart just went down into their feet. Yeah, one day they are. But they plot against us. The plots to put mRNA vaccines into our food. Think about that. Think about how many people are going to be dead who took the jibbity-jibbity in just a few years. But think about if they start putting it in our food. Which they're already talking about. They're probably already doing it in some degree. So that means it's kind of like forcing people or sneaking it into people. But do you think all this is because they want you to be safe from COVID? Now, what these people want, and I listened to an interesting podcast last night. I can't say that I agreed with all of it, but I do agree with this part. What Satan wants, what his evil followers want, because they're following him, is they pretty much want the extinction of human beings that aren't in their little club. Y'all understand that? That's what all of this is about. You want to trace it all back to everything? It's all about getting rid of the useless eaters and the Christians. Because the Christians are really the ones that stand in their way. And they believe we stand in their way because, you know, we have some morals and ethics about things. So they can't do what they want with cloning research or genetic research or, you know, there's just too many people left that still have some morals. So we want to get rid of them. And then, of course, you know, they want to bring forth the alien deception, right? They want to bring that forth, but those entities don't want to be anywhere near a true Christian. So they stay underground until they can get rid of a bunch of us. Because they can't move and walk freely if there's a true Christian using the name of Jesus Christ against them. Folks, there is evil being plotted that you can't even fathom. I've said recently, you know, in the last year or two, I talked about how is it that we think that people like Mao and Lenin and Stalin and Hitler, how do we think that somehow those kind of people don't exist anymore? No, they exist. They run pharmaceutical companies. Like Bayer. Bayer just sent poison medicine over to Africa, didn't care. Merck, Pfizer, they don't care. What was it? I talked about it a while back, Vioxx. They put Vioxx on the market knowing it was going to cause stroke and heart attacks years ago, and it killed thousands upon thousands of people with stroke and heart attack. One of the biggest scandals in pharmaceutical history, and yet they're still in business. Mass murderers, yet they are still allowed to advertise on Fox News. Do you know that most, I think it's 70, I found out 75%, think about this, 75% of all the advertising on television is paid for by pharmaceutical companies. And here's the thing, if you want to know if the human race for the most part's brainwashed, is when they tell you that the side effects of this drug is fatal incidents. Suicidal ideation. Death. And we go, go ask your doctor about it. Fatal incidents. That means people died on this stuff. And you know what? They had to pull Vioxx from the market. Had to pull it. Had to pay billions in fines. And yet, though, the United States federal government allowed them to just stay in business. And you want to believe these folks in the federal government. You want to trust them. I don't trust them about anything. Matter of fact, the only time I believe the federal government is when I can find a classified document that's now declassified and it actually shows what they were trying to hide. But here's the good news, folks. This is the part that I like. They're going to shoot at us. They're going to send everything they got against the true church of Jesus Christ, the true born-again believers. They're going to send everything they can against us. And yes, many of us will be martyrs for Jesus in these last days. But I want to tell you one thing. The Bible says here that the Lord is going to shoot at them. And can I tell you that he doesn't miss? In fact, we are going to see him drop some judgment on some people as they're doing things, as they're speaking these things. Some of these people that pushed the jibbity jab, isn't it interesting how they pushed and mocked people who wouldn't take it, and then they dropped dead? You know what that is right there? They were shooting at us, and God shot them. Their own mouth, their own plot, their own wickedness got them. Their arrogance, their pride. But what does David pray here? He says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. And he says, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. In my lexicon, the back of my Bible here, it says that the wicked men who are debating evil plans, hide me from this. Can I tell you right now, you know, I was going to say, in the natural and just naturally speaking, What they're getting ready to do in the pharmaceutical industry, in the bioweapons aspect, what they're about to do with robotics, what they're about to do with DNA manipulation, what they're about to do to the financial system, everything, just the way they're going to be able to track and surveil us, there really will be in the natural nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. They are going to drop a net upon the world. Now, here's the thing, though. I said in the natural. You have to understand, in the natural for us, it would be impossible for any Christian to resist this Antichrist system and survive if God didn't supernaturally intervene for us. But I'm going to tell you right now, of course, y'all know that I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't believe that we, the church, get out of here before all of this stuff happens. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the rapture of the church takes place immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's exactly what Jesus taught. You can follow John MacArthur if you want to, or David Jeremiah, or one of these other Baptist preachers out here. But I'm going to tell you right now what Jesus taught. Well, that his angels, with the great sound of a trumpet, would gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, immediately after the tribulation of those days. In fact, let's put that verse up. You aren't leaving. The Christians that say that, oh, I'm getting out of here. No, you're not. No, you are not. In fact, let's read it from verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29 through 30-31 there. Let's read that. Here's Jesus speaking. Jesus' words. He says, immediately after. Somebody say after. After. Now, how do you can't switch this. I don't care what kind of theological monkey gymnastics you do. You can't change this somehow to before. Immediately after the tribulation. Somebody say after the tribulation. Of those days. Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And what? And then, hold on somebody, what's then mean? What's then mean? Let me hear it. After this, right? Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And, what's and mean? The sentence continues, the thought continues, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. That's the rapture or the first resurrection. Jesus told us exactly when it would happen in context of the last days or the great tribulation. It's not before, it's not in the middle, it's not some kind of pre-wrath nonsense. I've studied all of these views. And I come back to Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Because you need to get it in your head. You are not escaping this unless you die before it happens. Do you understand? So that means you need to mentally, emotionally, spiritually prepare yourself for what Jesus said, what's written in the scriptures. And one of the things he said, even if we backed up in this chapter, he said the time's going to come, he said, where they will hate you and they will kill you for my name's sake. And get this, he said in John 16, he said there's going to be people who will kill you and think they're doing God a service. And this, he says, is because they have not known the Father or me. See, there's going to be some Christians out there that are going to turn you in to the authorities. Go on ahead and mark it down. You're going to remember this, that I told you. It won't be necessarily your wicked neighbor across the street. It's going to be your lukewarm brother down the street. Yeah. Or Jesus did warn, the children will betray and turn against their parents. Y'all think it's okay sending these little kids to these public school indoctrination centers? Well, guess what? They might just be training them to turn on you. I don't say might. You know they are. So seeing that we know we're not leaving here, and let's go to Revelation. This passage won't leave me, but Revelation chapter 3. Now, Jesus gives an example here. He speaks to the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 3. But I believe these weren't just for those churches at that time, that these were messages for the churches that would exist from here on out. But particularly, there's a couple where he's definitely speaking to the church of the last days. And the church right here called Philadelphia. Let's go to verse 7 and read this. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now that is, an open door is an opportunity, an ability to actually minister or continue to minister. Okay? And then he says, no man can shut it. Why? For thou hast a little strength, you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, this is a verse. Verse 10 is a verse that the pre-tribulation rapture people latch on to. And see, we're getting out of here. We're going to escape. I'm going to have to burst their bubble a little bit. It says here, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation or tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast, or hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now let's back up to verse 10 again. He says, because you have kept my word, you've not denied my name, right? He says, I will keep you. Now, this is our English translation. You know what people in America like, English-speaking folks, and we like to put our own interpretation on things. But the English is not always the best interpretation because this was written in Greek. So we go back to the Greek interpretation or definition of words to make sure we understand fully what he's saying. Because sometimes in English, you just lose something. Like in English, for instance, we have one word for love. You can say, I love my wife and I love my dog. I hope you mean differently, but when you say that, right? But the Greeks had different words for love. Up to 5 different words they had for love. So it's very specific. Well, right here, the Greek word when he says here, he will keep or kept, or says, I will keep you, right? I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That word does not mean take you away. It doesn't mean that you're going to escape. It doesn't mean you're leaving anywhere. It means to watch you and to guard you as he watches you. Now, if he took you to heaven, would he have to guard you?
No.
Protect you? No. But I want you to notice something. We're going to go back to Psalm 64 in a second. But I want you to notice something here. This promise is to those who have kept his word.
Right.
Not somebody playing on the fence. Not somebody living in sin. Not somebody living in fornication, adultery, homosexuality, saying, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're on the fence. And I can tell you this much. If you got one leg on one side of a fence and one leg on another side of the fence, and you stay there too long, you're going to get hurt. But Jesus talked about this because the next church he talked about was the church of Laodicea. And he said, you're neither hot nor cold. He told them, he said, you're on the fence. You're right. You're lukewarm. You're in the middle. You better be hot or you be cold. Make up your mind which side of the fence you're going to be on. Because the lukewarm, he said, get spit out of or vomited out. Actually, the Greek means vomited out. See, the English try to soften that up for you. But the Greek says to vomit out. And let me just go and tell you, once saved, always saved, folks. Y'all think you once saved, always saved, no matter how you live. If you get vomited out of Jesus' body, that means you were in it. And the only way in it is to be born again. And you have to choose to stay in, and you choose to stay in the body of Christ by walking in obedience and faithfulness and righteousness and obedience, walking in a real relationship with the Lord, not being lukewarm. You cannot be lukewarm. Then none of this, go to church on Sunday and in the club on Saturday. No, no, no. That's over with. The Lord said very clearly, I know your works to this church. He said, you have a little strength. You have kept my word. This book right here. You've kept my word. Not your own standard. His standard. Not your own ways. Not your own little religious ideas or traditions of men or doctrines of men. No, it's this book. It better not be Baptist doctrines. It better not be Presbyterian doctrines. It better not be, you know, better not be Craig doctrine. It better be Jesus doctrine, right? He said, if you kept my word and you have not denied my name. So somebody say conditional. This promise of being guarded or protected is conditional. Somebody say conditional. Y'all looking at me like a dog looking at a new dish. Conditional. Now let's go back. Go back to Psalm 64. I did all that to show you this. Psalm 64. When he says here in verse 1, preserve my life. Guess what the word preserve means? If y'all want to put up the blue letter Bible, preserve, if you can find it. Preserve means to guard in a good sense, to watch over, to protect, to hide, to defend. Y'all see that? This is what you are going to want, especially as everything that's going to be unleashed on this world gets unleashed. And then, too, you got to also be in the place where, if not, I'm ready to go. I mean, are you ready? I'm ready. If a UN soldier put his rifle up to my head, I'm ready. You understand? I've already prepared myself. Say, why do you say UN soldier? Because they ain't peacekeepers, y'all. They're thugs. They're New World Order foot soldiers. And at some point, they're going to roll out the guillotines. Say, Pastor Dean, why would you say guillotines? Because the number one way that they're going to kill Christians in the last days, Jesus said, would be by beheading them. And I know for a fact that they've been storing guillotines on military bases in the United States for years. And if they're doing it in the United States, do you think that they're doing it in England, France, Spain? Oh, yeah. In fact, one guillotine is made by Chanel. I guess they're going to smell good when they cut your head off. Y'all think these satanic companies are all just making perfume? No. Y'all got to remember IBM, Bayer. Remember all those nice companies ended up working for the Nazis? Y'all forget this stuff. They can switch over things in the factory to do what needs to be done for the final solution. Say, Pastor Dean, again, why would you say guillotines? I'll show you in a minute. But see it, here it is. This is that word when he said, preserve me. What does that say? To guard, to watch over, to keep. To guard, to keep. In fact, pull up that word in Revelation 3:10. It says, I will keep you. You're going to see the same type word. This, of course, is in Hebrew. In Revelation 3:10, it's in Greek, but it's the same exact definition. Preserve, watch over you, protect you, hide you. Now, I say this because let me get back to the rapture issue. Now that you know that Jesus taught that the rapture is after the tribulation of those days, and we're going to go through this stuff, right? Here's what you got to know. And this is, I comfort myself with these words. That Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, even though it says in Daniel 7 and Revelation 13:7 that the Antichrist will make war with the saints and prevail against them. It will appear as if they are prevailing, they are winning. Just like the cross, it appeared that Satan was winning until Jesus rose from the dead. And the Lord's going to allow them to think they're winning before he shoots them down. All right? And some of us, again, are going to have to prove our faith and love and loyalty to Jesus by being willing to lay down our lives and not deny him in the face of death and persecution. But the promise is if the Lord allowed Satan to wipe out all the Christians in the last days, then there'd be no one left to be raptured and taken up alive, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to put on for the mortal to put on immortality and the corruptible body to put on incorruption. So the Lord's let us know he is going to preserve a people through the whole thing that will be alive and raptured or changed into his image, changed from this mortal, corruptible body. We're going to get a new body that's like the body Jesus has. And we're going to be with him. And guess what? When Paul said that, go to 1 Corinthians 15, about 51 through 53 there. What did he say? At the last trump or trumpet. We ain't talking about Trump. There's still too many Trumps left anyway. So it's the last trump. Not the, this is what I've always wondered about pre-trib folks. The radio show we did, we've done two radio shows so far. We're in local area. So I did 2 weeks ago, I did the pre-tribulation rapture and the wrath of God. And then this week was the seven trumpets. And I've always said, I've wondered how in the world you could teach. Because see, the traditional view of the book of Revelation by, say, your average Baptist, is that there's going to be seven seals, like the seven-year tribulation is going to start. There's going to be seven seals that are going to be open. Then the seven trumpets are going to blow in sequential order. And then there's going to be seven vials of wrath, and then Jesus is going to come. But that's not the way it works. But that's what they believe. But I don't know how they could ever say, yes, we believe the rapture is at the last trumpet, and yet they go before the seven trumpets blow. How can you say it's going to be at the last trumpet, but there's seven more trumpets to blow? I think I looked it up in the Greek, folks. Guess what last means? Last. All right? Here it is. But he says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And he says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Think about that. And he says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there is going to be a remnant of the church, the true, born again, Jesus-loving, Holy Ghost-filled, obedient disciples of Jesus Christ that are going to endure. He's somehow going to provide and preserve and hide and guard and protect us all the way through this whole thing that they're going to do. And I think the Lord's going to do that too, just to say, see how I can do it. The wicked think they're so smart, and he's like, the Lord's like, I can do some people now. I can hear them right now. Oh, but Pastor Dean, we're not appointed to wrath. So that means we got to get out of here. Can I tell you something? Let me ask you a question. And y'all ask me. Now, if we're going to be Bible scholars and students, we must compare spiritual things with spiritual. We must compare scripture with scripture. When's the only other time that God had a series of plagues and judgments that he brought upon a nation? Exodus. So my question to you, did the children of Israel leave Egypt before the plagues of God's judgment or after? Somebody said after. I didn't hear all of you. Come on. Y'all know the story, right? At least some of you went to the movie theater and saw the Prince of Egypt. So I know y'all got to know the story, right? Y'all had to hear Mariah Carey sing, right? And Whitney Houston. After. Somebody say after. Now yet, God brought these 10 plagues, these 10 judgments, even death, darkness, death upon the firstborn, frogs and lice, water turning to blood. And yet God's people were protected. When there was darkness on the land, in the land of Goshen, there was light. When the Egyptians' cattle were dying, Goshen was fine. Their cattle was fine. And when the death angel came and the blood was on the doorpost of the believers, guess what? They were hidden. They were guarded. They were protected. In the midst of it happening, all of them, they could hear the screams. And yet their firstborn was fine. You hear me? You got to understand this. You say, well, Pastor Dean, should I want to be guarded and protected? Sure, there ain't nothing wrong. David prayed, this was his prayer, Lord, preserve me, hide me, protect me from the wicked who are plotting against me, an evil plot. But you also got to be the kind of person that says, but if not, I'm ready to go. Somebody say, don't shout me down now. See, not only do churches now, for the most part, don't even touch on what's going on in the last days, they certainly aren't going to prepare you for this part of it. I mean, find me a church in America. There may be some out there, but find me someone that's on TV or something that's talking about you may be martyred for Jesus in the days ahead. Now, in Africa, they know it can happen. In China, they know it can happen. In the Middle East, they know it can happen. But we Americans have been spoiled. Those days will come to an end of our peace and safety. And the only place of peace and safety, the only refuge that you're going to possibly be able to have, it's because if they've got mass drones with 6G flying over that's got all your information, knows everything about you, can read your facial structures from miles away, even if they only got a part of your face, they can read it now. And they sent a swarm, not just a drone, but a swarm of drones. How do you think you're getting out of that one? It has to be supernatural. God will have to. I don't care if you got a shotgun with the drone catching nets. You know you can buy those, right? They do exist. I'm not making that up. I don't have any yet, but I want some. Somebody asked, how many do I have? I don't have any yet, but I'd like some. I just hadn't had time to buy everything. I have a lot of things on my wish list. Christmas, baby, and that's a Christmas thing. Got to try those things out. Shoot. Capture the drone. But see, this is what, this right here, this is what you have to be praying, Lord. And most of us, especially if we have children, grandchildren, little ones, you know, we could tough it out and say, yeah, I'm fine with whatever happens. But we don't want to see that for them. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, Pastor Dean, how do we get away? How do we deal with this stuff? They're poisoning our water, our food, our soil. How in the world do we survive? Let me show you something. Go to Mark chapter 16. I mean, even with this gloom and doom message I'm sharing with you this morning, I hope you see the light, the hope, the way to deal with it. Because you're going to deal with it one way or the other. You're going to deal with it with faith and the Bible. You're going to deal with it with panic and fear. You'll deal with it one way or the other. But Mark 16, and Jesus said this. Now, we love quoting this about casting out demons and healing the sick, but listen closely. All that we believe in and do. And Jesus said this in verse 15. Here's our commission, the church's commission, the true church that will do these things. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So we should be, the true church should be casting out demons. He said, they shall speak with new tongues. That means never known before. Supernatural gift of tongues. They should be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the gift of tongues should work in your life. If not, that's the next thing you need to be seeking and asking God to do in your life. The next thing he says, they shall take up serpents. Now, this doesn't mean picking up snakes. Jesus called demon spirits serpents and scorpions. This is just a descriptive term of spirits. Take up here means to bind them or suspend them temporarily. We have the authority to do that with the keys of the kingdom, which is binding and loosing. But then he says this. We overlook this right here. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we talk about laying hands on the sick and God healing people. We talk about casting out demons. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We talk about binding and taking authority over demon spirits, but we rarely ever talk about if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Drinking here just simply means to take something into your body. It can be liquid. It can be food. But this is something you're going to have to keep in your mind. When you pray over, you should be praying over your food, your water. I don't care if you grow it at home. Because guess what? They're spraying this crap in the sky. And it's coming down into our soil and it's getting into our plants. See, this is what I mean. I see people out there stressing and like trying to find this and trying to find that and trying to find this out there. And I'm like, you got to stop. You're going to drive yourself crazy. Because it's everywhere. They now have the technology to control just about every single thing in the world. These evil people do. They can control the weather. They can control rain, whether you get rain or you don't get rain. Or, as farmers know, you can get too much rain, and it can rot and destroy your crops or cause a flood. So they can manipulate that. They've been doing that since the, 70s? My aunt, let me tell you, my great aunt was a top amazing farmer. She knew everything about every plant and every tree, fruit tree. And when we moved in the house that she lived in for many years and we started cleaning things out and going through stuff, we found newspaper clippings from the 1970s where she talked about, where it said about seeding the clouds. And she called it, she said, they're pranking the clouds. And she said it changed everything. She said it changed the soil. Stuff wouldn't grow anymore like it grew before. And she recognized that in the 70s and the 80s. What do you think it's like now? When I was a boy living out there next to her, let me tell you, we had plum trees that just, so many plums on them, the branches just laid on the ground. Apple trees, so loaded down with apples. Pear trees, the same way. Pomegranate trees. Peach trees. It was amazing. I could just, as a boy, just walk inside and just go get me a whole array of fruit. I loved it. I remember the lettuce she would grow in her garden. It was like sweet. Oh, you didn't need to put anything on it. Just eat it. I remember the carrots she grew. They were sweet and just good. And I remember she'd have a garden and just grow everything. And now it's hard to grow stuff. And it's going to get harder. It's going to get more difficult. But folks, this right here, if they drink any deadly thing, this is what I'm depending on. I'm done trying to figure out who's doing what to what. You know what I mean? And then if you're a traveling preacher, it says you got to eat what's put in front of you. Let me tell you, I've been in some places I didn't know exactly what that was in front of me. Pray over it. Thank you, Jesus, for it, that I got something to eat. Sanctify it. Bless it. I receive it with thanksgiving. I believe it's supernaturally cleansed. But again, do you believe that? You have to believe it. All things operate in the kingdom of God by faith, meaning God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's it. So if he said in 1 Timothy, in fact, you can put up 1 Timothy 4. Let's put that up because this will drive the Torah heads crazy, and I love doing that. They so worried about eating a piece of pork. Days are coming that they'll eat a piece of bacon so fast, make your head spin. Let's go on down to the food here. Well, let's go back. We'll read the whole thing. Just keep in context. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What is the truth? Somebody say every creature. For every creature of God is good and nothing, somebody say nothing, to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now here's the thing. If you believe that, you don't worry about what you eat. Now I'm not saying that you're going to pray over, you know, a case of Oreo cookies, and that's what you eat every day, and that's going to have no effect on your health. And by the way, there's a satanic symbol on Oreo cookies, just so you know. Just a little side note. But what I'm saying is, you can't be stupid.
I can't eat chitlins every day.
But no, not every day.
All right.
But what I'm saying is that we're not going to be able, in the days ahead, you're not going to be able, particularly it's getting harder and harder, but for sure, it may be even 6 months from now, a year from now, you're not going to be able to know what's in everything. And you're just going to have to pray over it, ask God to cleanse it and sanctify it and be thankful for it. And trust that God did something supernatural when you prayed over it and you thanked him for it. They're not turning me into a mutant. I can tell you that right now. They do not have my permission. You understand? But God doesn't want us walking. What did he say? He talked about the fear. I don't want to be in the fear of the enemy. I'm not in fear of the enemy. I'm not ignoring what they're doing. But I'm not in fear. And see, here's the deal, though. I'm not in fear because I believe God's word. And I know that I'm in Jesus and he is in me. And no matter what happens, he's got me. And then you can be at peace. And I've been this way. I'm going to tell you, I've been this way for many, many, many years about what I eat. I don't freak out. I like pretty much everything. I grew up eating every vegetable. You got rutabagas. Loved turnip greens and collards and mustard greens growing up. I ate everything. Butter beans and squash. I love it. Every bit of it. I mean, we know somebody that won't eat a vegetable. I say, I don't think that's wise. It's not because they don't have access to vegetables, but they won't touch it, a vegetable. But this is important. And really, to tell you the truth, this is how we're going to have to deal with most everything now. It's hard to trust anybody about anything. The only thing we got that we know is rock solid is the Word of God. And if you're standing on the Word of God, then you got a good foundation. And you can believe it, and you can ask God to do something supernatural. And he may do it immediately. He may do it. He may not do it as quick as you want him to do it. But you still need to believe and trust him. And that's how he ends that Psalm 64. Go to the end. He says, the righteous will what? Trust. Y'all know what trust is? That's when you put your little child, your little toddler on the countertop and you step back. Us dads do this stuff, right? Jump, I'll catch you. And they're like, ooh, they're like so scared. Oh, no, trust me, I got you. Trust me. Trust, when you trust, you take the leap. You keep looking down. You're not believing you can do it. See, what they don't know, sometimes I'd back far away, make it look like it was impossible, right? I'd back real far because I knew even if they only jump halfway, I was going to move up and catch them anyway. But I want them to trust me. And this is the way the Lord is with walking in faith. It's like, don't worry about how far you can jump. Just jump. If he says to jump, you jump. He says to step, you step. He says to move, you move. He says to obey, you obey. He says to change job, change the job. He says, you step with him and you'll think, I can't do this. And you're like, I'm going to jump and fall on my face. And he's going to step up and catch you though. He just wants you to trust him. He wants you to jump. Amen. And a lot of us are going to have to be challenged in the days ahead, and we will be, to jump out of our comfort zone. Because God's going to ask you to do things you've never done before. For him. And you're going to think, I can't do that. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough skill. I don't know the Bible well enough. All these thoughts will come to your head. And he's going to say, did I ask you any of that? Remember Moses? I can't do that. I can't speak. And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Why are you worried about that? Man, let me tell you right now. If we went by how much money we had in the end of 2008, when everything had collapsed and gasoline was $4 a gallon, about $4.30 a gallon, I think it was, and we had to travel 2 hours one way, 4 hours two ways just to have our church service here, we didn't have two nickels, we didn't have two wooden nickels. And if we'd have gone by money, we would have never done this. If we'd have been those people that said, well, I got to have this amount of money to do this, to obey God. No, no, you're not trusting. You're trusting in, if I got the money, then I can do it. No, sometimes you have to step and do. We didn't even have a car. Both of our cars had been repossessed. We were in a bad spot, y'all. And we didn't even have a car, and we needed to travel Hampton. I always think of McDonald, but it's Hampton. But we had to travel from Hampton over here, but it's still 2 hours, two-hour drive. And here we're just like, okay, God, we'll do it. I think we borrowed somebody's car the first time or two. And then we had this couple just come up and say, hey, we've got this car. It's practically new. Y'all can use it. Let us use their car without paying them a dime for 2 years. Faith was born. We brought her home from the hospital in that little car. Brand new little Chevy Cobalt. And we got back and forth. That's when my wife had to learn to ease off, you know, to become an Alabama girl and not an Atlanta driver. Because she would drive us over here to have service on Sunday, and I would still be trying to read the Bible and think about the message, and I'd look over, and let's just say the speedometer was a little too far. She's gotten way better. Huh? We're alive. When I met my wife, she thought off-ramps were meant to speed up and get to the light. I thought we were going to launch off of one day. Lord, Lord, help us. We kid, my wife has skinny angels that take care of her. You know why? Because they got to get in between her and these cars that she gets so close to. Oh, I was like, oh, it's one of those skinny angels again. I haven't messed with her. She is a good driver, though. I trust her with my life. But then again, that's trust, right? Trust. Trust in the Lord. Let's stand this morning. I want to do Your Mercy Goes Much Deeper. This is one of my favorites because, folks, there is nowhere else to go. Jesus is our refuge, our fortress, and our strength. And what does it say? The name of the Lord is what? A high tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Say, run into it. You have to run into it. And you do that by saying, I'm done with sin. I'm done with my rebellion. I'm done with my own way. I'm done with sexual sin. I'm done with greed and covetousness and chasing after money. I'm done with dead religion. I'm done with these things. I'm going to run into the name of the Lord. And what's his name? The name above every name. What's his name? Jesus. I'm going to run into Jesus, and he's going to be my refuge and my fortress, my deliverer, my hiding place. See, there is nowhere else to go. And you can't be on the fence. You can't be lukewarm. You got to get all the way in with him, and go all the way with him and be serious. I used to say all the time, if you're serious with God, you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you. Amen? Let's do this song right here before we go.
Bless you, Jesus. Your grace that rescues me, your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper, your grace that rescues me, your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life. Your mercy goes much deeper, your grace it rescues me, your mercy much deeper, farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper, your grace rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life. Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Much farther than I can see. Mm-hmm. stand? And how could I leave the shelter of your hand? Jesus, tell me, where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter? I don't want to leave, Lord. I don't want to leave your hand, Lord. Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter? I don't want to leave the shelter of your hand, Lord.
Come on, say it. I reach for you, Jesus.
I reach for you.
Yes, Lord.
I reach for you. I reach for you. I reach for you. I reach for you. Jesus,
our rock and our refuge, our fortress, our deliverer. It's in you we will run into and we will hide. You're our shelter in the storm, Lord. We will not run to another. We will not trust our own ways or our own abilities or our own plans, but Lord, we will trust in you. We will let you lead us by your Holy Spirit in everything. Somebody say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God. I hope you've been blessed. Who's your hiding place? Amen. Draw near to him now. You know, that's the promise in James 4. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And that's what you're going to need more than anything else in the days ahead, even now. Just a few announcements. Skyfall, be sure to register. If you have not registered, June 2nd through the 4th, you just go to skyfallconference.org there and register. And I don't even know how many we got registered now, but go ahead. We have, so go to there, to the accommodations section there on the website, and you'll see the hotels that we have a special rate, I hope, with them. But anyway, Skyfall Conference, and just so you know, go ahead. Those of you looking to or desiring to be in Fire and Grace School of Ministry, the deadline on getting that application in is August the 1st. So get that application in if you want to be a part of the school. The quicker the better, because we are going to be busy. We're going to have graduation this time at Skyfall on Sunday afternoon. We'll have our Fire and Grace School of Ministry graduation. So that's going to be awesome. I hope most of you can stay for that. I guess that's it, though. Water baptisms will be that night back here at 7 o'clock Central Time. Everything else is on Eastern Time, all right? So just remember that, because we cross the border into that Georgia territory. Huh? Submit the form if you want to be baptized. I didn't even know there was a form, but skyfallconference.org. All right. That's all I have for you today. Hug some necks before you leave. And if you can stay, go get you something to eat and come back and eat with us downstairs. God bless you.